Good morning. If you would turn with me, the scripture for today is going to come from Luke chapter 24, beginning with verses 1 through 12. Well, it's just me, I'm a little warm. I'm not the only one. I see somebody out there fanning. You've probably heard this, or may have heard this already this morning, but I invite you to hear not only the words, but I pray that we will respond to the movement of the Holy Spirit through the Scriptures. Lord, today is truly a gift, and it's a reminder of the ultimate gift. And as we come and we look at a story, a true story in your scriptures, I pray that we will respond to the message that is there, that you came to share with us so that our lives might be changed forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in cloths that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their head and faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to make nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. And he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Have you ever reached the point in your life that whatever you do, your life seems empty, lacking purpose, going through the motions, feeling like nothing really matters, and you have nothing to offer and nothing to gain? The world just seems empty, empty of meaning, empty of purpose, empty of joy, empty of hope. Do you know people in your life who are experiencing this now? I'm not talking about depression. Depression is real. And there is a time and place to talk about this, and God can and will be a part of bringing healing to those who struggle in this area. But that is not what I'm talking about here today. I'm talking about an awareness that this world cannot fill the longings of our heart, mind, and soul. We may think it can for a moment, or there may be promises that it can, but this world cannot fill the longings of our heart, mind, and soul. The world tells us that we should set goals, goals of acquiring wealth, goals of achievement, doing more, going further, being greater, goals of satisfaction, acquiring enough money, resources, or experiences to bring you ultimate happiness. All of this, even if you achieve it, will leave you feeling less than satisfied. Consider the words of King Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Beginning with verse 1. King Solomon says, I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasures to find out what is good, but that also proved to be meaningless. Laughter, I said, is madness, and what does pleasure accomplish? I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly. My mind still guided me with wisdom. I wanted to see what was good for people to do under the heavens during the few days of their lives. I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasures of kings and provinces. I acquired male and female singers and a harem as well, the delight of a man's heart. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. In all this, my wisdom stayed with me. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor. And this was the reward for all my toil. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. This is King Solomon. King Solomon had the ability to do that. He could have anything and everything the world offered. And he did it because he wanted to find that meaning. And he said even after he did it, there was no meaning in it. Someone might say, $1 million would not make you happy. I might say, let me give it a try. Goals are not bad. In fact, I would say we should have goals. In fact, I believe that having goals would in some ways even be biblical. The key to overcoming the emptiness, the key is not depriving ourselves of what may be. It is making sure that Christ is at the center of whatever we do. So those goals, to have what we have, to do what we do, to be what we're going to be, it's good to strive for that, but not for that sake, but for the sake of Christ. And then those goals take on life. Then those goals make a difference. Then those goals make an impact. Then those goals are about something more than us. The key to overcoming emptiness to this world is to embrace the meaning of the empty cross and the empty tomb. The empty cross is foundational to understanding who God is, what God has done, what God is doing, and why. And this will bring fulfillment as nothing else in the world ever can. Through Jesus' death on the cross, we can be changed. We have all sinned, the Bible says so, and if we don't rid ourselves of sin, it will control our lives. Not maybe, it will control our lives. God knew this and loved you and me so much that he made a way for that sin to be removed. The religious theologians use the big word atonement. It means Jesus paid the price for our sins so we would not have to, and because of that, sin no longer has that ability to control our lives. On the cross, Jesus cried out, "It is finished." He paid the price. Your sins and my sins were placed on him. Scripture says, he who knew no sin became sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's in 2 Corinthians. The empty cross gives hope to all human beings. Look at the beauty of this cross. This is a profound lesson, and it's an experience that you participated in today. The cross in Jesus' day was an ugly, cruel, condemning tool and instrument of death. The cross in Jesus' day was something you did not want to be a part of. Only God, hear this, only God can take something that is so ugly and make it so beautiful. The cross, a symbol of death through Jesus Christ, has been turned into a source of life and hope. But hear this, that hope is not just about the beautiful gift of eternal life, but the beautiful truth that God intervenes even now to turn the ugly things in our lives into instruments of goodness. The things that you have struggled with, the things you've had hardship with, the things that belabor you, the things that you don't want to identify you, you give them to God and God takes them and he does something with them and he transforms them and they become something that then gives credit not to you but to the God who created you, who can take anything in your life if you give it to him and make it into something good. Look at the beauty of the cross. I said the empty cross is foundational to understanding who God is, what he has done, and what he is doing and why. Through the cross, Jesus paid the price for our sins. But the cross would have no meaning were it not for the empty tomb. It is through the empty tomb that Christ defeated Satan and defeated death. If we claim Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and place our trust in him daily, Satan can no longer have power over us. His schemes, his false promises, his temptations, they no longer control us. He can still come after us. He can still do it, and we can give in to him if we want to. But if we claim Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed on the cross, Satan has to turn his back and run. He doesn't have the power. The empty tomb gives us proof that we have been forgiven. Our eternal destination is in heaven and in the presence of God and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I was talking to children in our preschool, our well center this week, and we were talking about heaven and about that being that because of what Jesus did, that we would be able to go to heaven. And we talked about what that was like. And I said, I don't really know what it's like, but here's what I would imagine. I get to go up there and I get to play baseball all I want to. And I hit lots of home runs in every game. And I never strike out. And I have ice cream. And it's ice cream that's better than Mr. Goody's. And it's free. And it doesn't have any calories in it. And I just kept on talking about things that, oh, and I said, I get to talk all I want to, and nobody gets upset about it because I like to talk. And I they got the idea that I was just so excited about what that could be like. And I said, you know what? In reality, probably none of that is in heaven. But what I do know and what the Bible says is that whatever is in heaven is going to be 100 times better than that. I mean, if you think of what it is in your life that could make the best place you could possibly be, it's going to be 100 times better than that, and you're going to want to spend forever there. That's what God has done. That's what is able to happen because of the cross, because of the empty cross, because of the empty tomb. Now hear me. I don't want to die today. God has given me a lot to live for. I'm excited about seeing what God plans to do in the lives of my children. I'm looking forward to celebrating my 25th wedding anniversary with my wife next year. I'm so excited about what God is doing in and through the Fellowship of Woodland, the lives that are being changed, and how God is bringing hope to the community around us. These things are exciting to me, and I want to be a part of them. But whenever death does come, it will take me to a better place than I have known on this earth. And this is the amazing gift of the empty cross and the empty tomb. Because of the empty cross, because of the empty tomb, there is no more need for emptiness in your life. There's no more need for emptiness in my life or anyone's life from this day forward. You have a promise of an eternity with God, which is better than you can possibly imagine. But guess what? You don't have to wait for heaven. The benefits begin now. You know what is coming, and that changes our outlook. This enables God to take the ugly, painful, unfair things of this world and that tend to fill us with feelings of emptiness and instead turn them into hope and fulfillment. Only God can do that. The world wants to tell you, do these goals and you're going to feel better and this is going to happen, but you can't work and accomplish that. You can work and accomplish some small things, but God can transform your life. So that those things that pull you apart, that pull you down, that try to destroy you, God takes them and He strengthens you. And through that, He gives you hope and He gives you promise. And you become a testimony to the kingdom. If you know the power of the empty grave, your heart is filled with genuine celebration today because of that. If you are just becoming aware of this power, and realizing there must really be something to this, your life has the possibility of changing right now, forever. I'm going to ask our praise team to come back up. And they're going to share with us and we're going to continue to worship. And as they do, I invite you, but it's really an invitation from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to respond as He's leading. God moves, and God moves every day. I actually saw this mess on the floor. There was a part of me that was wanting to get down and pick it up. There was part of me that before Laura came was going to say, Laura, why don't you get the kids to come and pick up all those little pieces so it won't look like that? Who picked up the pieces at the foot of Jesus' cross? Did they clean it up and make it look pretty there? We don't need to forget that. I mean, this is beautiful. And it's transformational. It reminds us of that. But we can't just think about Easter without also remembering Good Friday. And the sacrifice that was made and the mess that's there. And you know what? Even in our lives today, Christianity, following Jesus Christ, is not always simple and pretty. In fact, it rarely is. Genuine Christianity is messy. It takes us places that we're unsure of. It puts us in situations that people that look at us may not understand, because we're doing what God expects instead of following what the world may think is the right thing to do. So I left the stuff here, because it's a reminder that genuine Christianity, genuinely following Christ, and a lot of times people in churches and pastors give off this false view that once you accept Christ and Christ becomes your Lord and Savior, everything is grand and wonderful and life is just always roses. It's not, and if anybody told you that, it's a lie. But in the midst of that, hear what we're saying. God takes those challenges and those things, and we get to a point, we've understood that so often, that we can get excited about those things because we know God's going to do something with them, even if we don't even know what it is. So if you don't have that type of faith, if you don't have that type of understanding that God takes the junk in your life and creates treasures, If you haven't seen that, if you haven't experienced that, if you don't know that, you can know that today. In fact, I expect if you take time this moment and think back through your life, there will be some things that have been not so good that you can see, even though you may not have been praying about it, you may not have been looking for it, that God took it and made it into a good thing. And people, there are not many coincidences in this life. It's just not. Because God has too much control to allow the whole world just to be a coincidence. So if you would, stand with us and sing. Respond as God would lead. The altar's open. Our church doors are open for membership. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'd love to start that conversation with you today. But respond as the Lord will.